Music is central to our well-being. If you're listening here, chances are you feel the same. The Classical Post podcast uncovers the creativity that exists behind great music. We believe music is interconnected with other art forms and life experiences. It doesn't exist in a vacuum, but is often influenced by other sources. No matter who you are, cultivating your creativity is fundamental to being better in business and living a more holistic life. Discover more on this podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Eifert. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope you find something valuable in this episode. After more than two decades as one of New York City's busiest freelance oboists, James Rowe decided to pivot his career. He packed up his oboe case, reed knife, and metronome to take on leadership positions at two of the ensembles he had regularly performed with. First, he spent 2 years as president and CEO of the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra before moving into his current role as president and executive director of the Orchestra of St. Luke's, where he's been since 2015. How did 25 years of performing in symphony orchestras prepare him to lead one himself? For Rowe, his seat in the oboe section gave him a strategic vantage point, one that allowed him to see thousands of concerts play out on the faces of audience members in real time. At the helm of the Orchestra of St. Luke's, Rowe oversees more than 70 concerts per season in 20 venues across New York City, as well as a host of education and community programs that help make classical music more accessible for every New Yorker. And through it all, Rowe's guiding principle is to ensure the audience is the focus of it all. In this episode, we talk more about the Orchestra of St. Luke's current season, including the Carnegie Hall premiere of Florence Price's Piano Quintet with Marc-André Hamelin, and the third year of the ensemble's Di Gaetano Composition Institute, where three emerging composers work with composer mentor Anna Klein on new pieces to be premiered by OSL. Plus, Rowe shares how reading during his daily commute supports his well-being, the inspiration he gets from the wonderful crackle of anticipation before a concert begins, and his favorite Manhattan restaurant when he's craving Basque cuisine.
My name is Jim Rowe. I'm president and executive director of the Orchestra of St. Luke's, and I have been in this position for about 7 years. Before that, I was the president and CEO of the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra, and before that, I was a professional oboist here in New York City.
Let's talk about leadership in the arts. Where do you find inspiration as a leader?
For me, I'm often asked, how did playing the oboe in symphony orchestras for 25 years prepare you to be a CEO, to be a leader? And I think it really stems from the fact that from the time I was 15, I was playing in symphony orchestras in the oboe section, looking out from stage past the conductor at the faces of the audience and seeing across the course of my playing career, thousands and thousands of concerts play out of the faces of audience members in real time. You could see when something was hitting, you could see when there was, you know, that look in someone's eye that that meant that the music was really meaningful to them. And I've taken that directly to my leadership role because it shows that as musicians and as musical organizations, our mission is not fulfilled on stage. That's only the beginning. The mission is fulfilled in the hearts and the minds and the ears and the spirits of the people in the audience. And, you know, there was one moment I think of as a real signal moment for me along these lines. We were playing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And how many times have we heard Beethoven's Fifth Symphony? We've heard it thousands of times. And we were coming from that, the end of the third movement where it gets very, you know, quiet and mysterious and foreboding, right before it goes into the wonderful fourth movement finale. And there was a woman in the front row, and she was sitting with her daughter. And they really were like with it in that, at the end of the third movement, that C minor in that sort of Berlioz crackling, mysterious section. And then the fourth movement starts with that wonderful C major arpeggio, and the contrabassoon comes in, and the trombones come in, and the piccolo comes in. And she leaned her head back and tears rolled down her cheeks. And I thought, that is it. That is why we do this. And, you know, for me, whenever I'm in a meeting or looking at a bunch of spreadsheets or trying to get through a negotiation, it's that moment, it's that image of that mother who is so moved by this work that again, gives me the sort of the strength and the inspiration to move forward.
What most shapes your approach to leading an arts organization? Can you point to something?
For me, again, it's really making sure that the audience is the focus of everything that we do. The audience is where our mission is really fulfilled. And there are so many ways in which musicians, I call myself still as a musician, can really get down into the details and really sort of forget why people come to concerts. And if we can always focus on that, why is someone there? Why have they traded their time and their treasure to spend 90 minutes with us? And what we want most is for them to have such a great time that they come back. And especially now as we're leaving COVID and there's been this historic disruption in audience behavior, unlike anything we've ever seen. And so now more than ever, we have to be focused on the audience experience as the why behind everything we do.
Describe a routine you have in place that helps you live a healthier life.
So everyone got very interested in working from home during COVID, and coming back to the office has been something that that has been resisted in some ways by some parts of our sector. For me, I find that reading on my commute is something that's so essential from taking me from my time at home to my time at work. And even though we're hybrid 2 out of 3 days a week, I come to the office every day. And I feel it's so essential for me to stay healthy, to make a transition from my life at home, get on the subway, read the New Yorker, read the New York Times, read the Wall Street Journal, get to work, do your job, and then reward yourself by having another, 20 minutes of reading to get home on the subway.
If you can point to something that energizes you specifically, what would that be to speak to energy?
I feel like I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over again. But, one of the places I really love to be is in the lobby of a concert hall before a concert starts. And seeing people arrive and seeing the looks on their faces, they know that they're here for a good time. They're talking with a friend. Maybe they're reading the paper by themselves, but there's such an energy. And I found this energy to be so ubiquitous, whether, wherever you are across the world in concert halls, there's that wonderful crackle of anticipation. And so I always find a source of energy in that.
What is one specific product you highly recommend?
I'm not sure that the author would consider her book a product, but we've been working for several years with Rita Dove, the Pulitzer Prize-winning former poet laureate. And I'm a big poetry reader. And I think right now, just reach from the book from my shelf, Sonata Mulattica, which came out about 10 years ago by Rita Dove. It tells the story in 170 pages of poems of George Bridgetower, the violinist of African descent for whom Beethoven dedicated and wrote the Kreutzer Sonata. And Rita's take on this story is so fascinating and so compelling. And I highly recommend it. And if you go to Amazon, it certainly will be a product, at least until it arrives in your house.
What restaurant or bar do you love to eat at when you're in New York City? And then obviously, what do you order there?
So I live in New York City and have since August of 1990. And the Domenis Center for Classical Music, which is owned by the Orchestra of St. Luke's, is just a few blocks away from Chiquito, which is spelled T-X-I-K-T-O. And Chiquito is a Basque restaurant. And it's just about 10 blocks south of here on 9th Avenue. And there's this there's this pill, this bacalao that they, dried bacalao, which they reconstitute with olive oil. It's so, so delicious. So Chiquito, I would highly recommend it.
Let's take a quick break. Did you know Classical Post is a brand built for your pleasure by Gold Sound Media, a New York creative studio developing content for music lovers around the United States? We're always looking for new opportunities to partner with music presenters, artists, and record labels. If you're interested in content to build your community, please get in touch. Head to goldsoundmedia.com. Now, back to the show. Tell us about what's coming up this season with Orchestra of St. Luke's.
So Orchestra of St. Luke's has concerts in Carnegie Hall and in about 20 venues all around New York City. We have a sort of a portfolio program, but I think we're very proud that we have a series in each of Carnegie Hall's three venues, in Stern Auditorium, in Zach Hill Hall, and in Weill Recital Hall. So that series, of course, are coming up, and there's some great things ahead. I will be playing a program with Marc-André Hamelin and Weill Hall of Florence Price and Johannes Brahms, piano quintets of each. And according to all of the records that we can find, we'll be giving the Carnegie Hall debut, or premiere, I should say, for Florence Price's piano quintets. So we're very excited about that. And if you enjoy pianists, just a few weeks after that, Manny Ax will be joining us with our principal conductor, Bernard Labadie, in Stern Auditorium for a performance of Mozart, and then Schubert Great Symphony, Symphony No. 9. Our Bach Festival will take place in June in Zach Hill Hall. And then across the summer, we'll be having our fourth iteration now of the Di Gaetano Composition Institute. So we received a wonderful visionary gift during our last campaign to found a composition institute. Anna Klein is the mentor composer, and it'll be premiering four new works this summer written especially for Orchestra of St. Luke's.
Excellent. One last question. What does success mean to you?
I think as a leader, success is realized within your sphere of people. Within your team, when you see the team being fulfilled and really stepping up and achieving things they didn't know that they could achieve before, when you see your musicians on stage interacting with conductor, with the audience, with each other in ways that bring a kind of crackling energy to the music, when you see the board bringing their friends to concerts because they're so excited about what we're doing, coming to the youth orchestra concerts and getting involved with the students. It's really seeing a group of people engaged and inspired and committed to an organization and all moving it forward together. And that for me is success.
Thanks for listening to the Classical Post podcast. I hope you have found it meaningful and that it gave you new ideas to cultivate your creativity to be better in business and life. So let's stay in touch. Remember to follow this podcast to get notified of new episodes and sign up for our monthly newsletter for album recommendations and editorial on leading artists. Just head to classicalpost.com/subscribe.